an interesting message. That's not the one I want, but we're going to go to Psalm. If you look in the Bible, in the book of Psalms, in chapter number 14, that's where we're going to be taking our text. I kind of examine this chapter along with another chapter in Psalms. There's five different points I'd like to make. Only get through two tonight. We'll do some other Sunday. We'll finish up. But let's look at Psalm chapter 14 together. If you found your place, go ahead and stand for the honoring of the reading of the Word of God. And look with me as I read, starting in verse number 1. The Bible says this: "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Now I want you to contemplate that for a minute, those words, "there is no God." And it goes on and says that they are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They all are gone aside, they are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Ye have shamed the counsel of the poor, because the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God and this psalm that's left in Scripture for our encouragement, for our understanding, for our instruction. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to glean those things that would be a benefit as we try to serve thee in a greater way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to look at that word "fool" for a little bit. I looked up the different places in the Bible in many different areas. There's that word "fool." I forget how many were fools, and I kind of arranged those and looked at all of those different verses. I looked at the definition. It simply means senseless. The person that's speaking here is senseless. They are not speaking from reason, but they are senseless. It's a person who acts unwisely or imprudently. It's really just simply a silly person. And the Bible says this type of fool, the fool has said in their heart, there is no God. And I think of that. There is no God. That's what his heart says. In his heart, he believes there is no God. And I believe that that's the greatest fool of all. And maybe perhaps even the greatest sin of all. Perhaps to attack the very existence of God. How horrible that really is. And when you think about how horrible the insanity which leads a man who owes everything to God to cry out and say, there is no God. So I'm going to look at five truths of a fool, only two today. The first is this, the creed of a fool. What is his creed? What is his saying? What does he believe? And it says right here, his creed is this, there is no God. I'm going to talk about two types of atheists today. The first I want to label as a pronounced atheist. He says, there is no God. I begin to be interested in how the world is moving. We've known for some time that atheism is spreading, that all throughout the world there are more and more people that would readily say, much more than before, that there is no God. And some of those, many of those, would not proclaim themselves to be atheists, but they would say those words, that they believe that there is no God. There's many atheists. You can look at George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Johnny Depp, Jodie Foster. I don't know who's your favorite actor. But many of them proclaim to be atheists. Warren Buffett, many other men and women that are well known would readily proclaim that there is no God. In fact, in many European countries, there are many, about 25% of the population of their country believes there is no God. Well, they would be proclaimed atheists. If you actually look at those that would say those words, there is no God, it's startling to see that three-quarters of many nations in Europe, especially Sweden, the Dutch, those folks believe. 75%. Could you imagine such a thing? What I'm saying is our world is turning is changing, and there's many more that would say those words than ever before. Humanism is on the rise, has been for decades now. A humanist believes that their truth or their understanding of the world is based on reason and science. And so they look at the science. But the problem today with great scientists or intellectual scientists and those that really are in the forefront, that most of them are teaching lies. Now, you have to believe that or not. It's up to you. You have to believe who's telling you the truth and who is not telling you the truth. I know Paul warned Timothy at the very beginning. He said, "Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust." That's the words of God, the truth. "Keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babbling." That's all these different arguments and oppositions of science, falsely so-called. And so we know even then, Paul was concerned with scientists that were teaching science falsely so-called. And so that truth continues on even more today than any other time. The spread of atheism will continue to rise. I believe we're going to see more and more, of course we will, its attack upon the world. It's Satan's attack upon the world. We see it rising in politics. We see it rising in society. I really believe that artificial intelligence is really going to, even in a greater way, promote the doctrine of atheists. So we must be willing to understand that. We must be willing to, at some point, be able to understand enough that we might, if anything, witness to them of God, of the truth, of the gospel. But I want to take a moment. I looked at the statistics to let you understand this real truth, that the world is changing. And more than ever, there are people that are saying there is no God. And so now we looked at the statistics for a moment. Now I want to do a little bit of searching, you and I. I want us to examine ourselves in the faith, in what we believe about God, in the existence of God. And I don't believe there's anything wrong with that whatsoever. In fact, I want you to answer this question in your mind truthfully. I want you to examine it. Is Stephen Hawking right? Is he correct? Is these great renowned scientists that are much more intellectual than you are they right? Could I change your worldview? Now, just help me for just a moment, not to cause doubt, but to cause certainty. Because I believe this. I believe that everybody ought to ask themselves, is there a God? Is there a God? And I can tell you, even a Christian that has given their heart to the Lord and God has changed them, will come to times in their life, different circumstances that will help, that will come, and whatever they may be, will bring them to a position where I don't believe it's wrong for them to examine themselves in the faith, as speaking to Christians. Examine themselves in the faith to see if they are indeed grounded in Jesus Christ, or have they believed in a lie? What is your truth? Would you examine it? Can you just for a moment in time? I know it might be difficult. As I was coming here today, I'm looking around the mountains and I'm examining things. I'm examining the creation and I'm trying to put it into the perspective of an atheist. That all this was not created by God. That all of this, the mountains and the streams and the beauty. Now that's really hard for me when I even recognize beauty. How is there beauty? How can I understand and appreciate beauty if there's no God? If everything just evolved. But I try in my mind the best that I can to examine myself and ask myself, is there a God? So that I might in some way be able to relate or be able to understand someone who proclaims that. And so that I might indeed even examine myself. I have no problem. I'm not afraid to examine myself in the faith. I know where I'm grounded. I know what I believe. And that has came through a process of time. There was obviously the time that I was saved, that I was placed in the faith, and over periods of examining myself to some degree or another, it has helped me to even be more grounded, because I am persuaded what truth is. I'm completely persuaded. I'm not trying to cause you doubt. I'm trying to cause you to examine yourself that it might produce a greater faith in you, and that you might understand maybe perhaps how good part of the world and more as it's changing their world view. So let's just for a moment think from an atheist worldview, that everything that you see, everything that exists, happened over the process of billions of years. And there is no God before that created it. Just go there just for a moment, just for a few moments in your mind. There is no God. I pause because I know it's hard for some of you. It's the best that you can. There is no God. I've spent all week thinking about how to get into the worldview of an atheist. There is no God. And so if I believe that in my heart, there is no God, for me and you, it would change everything. Everything changes. My behavior changes. Everything, my perspective of life changes. Everything changes. So when you come across an atheist, I'm going to tell you, they do not think like you think. They think differently, much differently than you think. Now, if there is no God, and we are just created by chance through billions of years, the first thing that comes to my mind is, then I have no purpose. I have no purpose because I'm no more than just a blade of grass. I'm here by chance and no greater reason, no greater purpose than one single blade of grass. Now that would be true if there was no God, correct? I don't think I'm leading you too far off the path. If there was no God and I am just here as a process of chance over billions and billions of years, then my life has no purpose. Now, we might think when we're born that we try to make a purpose out of our life, but what I'm saying is for someone, if there is no God, if there is no God, I have no purpose. None. No different than any other thing that's living, whether it be a blade of grass or whether it be an animal or whether it be a human being. We are all here simply by chance, and there is no purpose to my life. Human life is just trivial. It's an accident of nature. We're inconsequential. We have no meaning to our life. That has to be true. It has to be true. If you believe that we just evolved over billions of years and it's all by chance, and then in time, it's all gone. Everything ends. Everything ends. The worldview of an atheist, even the universe would end. Eventually, in billions of years in the future, everything will cease to exist. And I cease to exist. And not like here, we know when we die in a few generations, will not be remembered. It's much more than that. Because I cease to exist. There's nothing. There's really no purpose at all. We'll not remember, or no one will, that we ever lived. Our lives are just a flake that appears for a moment in the billions of years and then passes. And for billions of years, it means nothing. The worldview of the atheist must bring about a deep emptiness in their heart if they really are atheists. It must, it has to. How else can it be? If you don't believe there is a God, then there's nothing. There's no meaning to life. It brings about an emptiness. And you're not going to find that purpose in relationship or careers or in helping others, because none of our accomplishments, none of our triumphs matter in the end. Right? It does not matter. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters if there is no God. It's a worldview of absolutely no hope. And so the first thing I'm going to ask an atheist, what's the purpose of your life? What's the purpose of love if love dies? I don't know. I sit around and I think about these for it, and I don't know if in just a moment of time that you can really appreciate what I'm saying. I think some of you are grasping it, but man, I look at that and it's just hopeless. The worldview of an atheist, there can be no hope. There can be no hope in that worldview. There is no hope in that worldview. And because there is no hope, you're left with no hope. There's just no hope. What a devilish worldview. Now I say that. Now, I'm going to move on. Most will not claim to be a pronounced atheist. So civil are today. Now, Martin Luther King Jr. said this, and I get what he's saying. He said, the most dangerous type of atheism is not theoretical atheism, but practical atheism. The world, even the church, is filled up with people who pay lip service to God and not life service. So I said there's two types of atheists. There's one that says here, the fool that says there is no God. And then there's another atheist, we'll call him a practicing atheist, and what he says, there is no God for me. Now, what is worse? An atheist who doesn't follow God because he does not believe God, or a man that says he believes there is a God, but does not follow him? Which is worse? The practicing atheist believes there's a God, but completely ignores his commands, or only chooses the ones that he believes to participate in. They believe there's a God, but they live as if they are God, or as if there really is none. His commands and his desires of no real concern. They shun his authority, though they say they believe in him, and live as if he doesn't exist. Can I tell you, if you really believe in God, if you truly in your heart, I'm going to tell you, believe there's no God. Look out and look in the world and look at creation and believe in evolution. Live as an atheist. I believe you'd be more justified than someone that believes in God and looks out the window and says, God, I believe you, but I'm not going to serve you. Because if you really believe there's a God, really believe, how could you not serve him? That makes sense to me. I'm just a common sense person. The practicing atheist ignores his commands. The practicing atheist is silent at work among his friends. He's silent among his family. How could you be silent? How could anybody that truly believed in existing God and know his name is Jehovah, know his son is named Jesus Christ, how could anybody that was thoroughly convinced of such a thing hold it to themselves? Well, I'm going to tell you, if you are where you need to be, I know and I understand the heart, we become lukewarm, but I'm going to tell you, we need to examine ourselves in the faith. Why? Not to cause doubt, but for you to come to the realization there is a God. There's those that don't believe there is a God, but we know his name. And then when I examine myself in the faith, it causes me to be more fervent in the Spirit right now. And that's why it's so important to examine yourself in the faith, however far that may go. I'm not saying that you're debating whether there is a God. Sometimes you may have to do that. Sometimes it's about the circumstances in life and you begin to question everything. And then you've got to examine yourself. And when you do, it will bring you to the realization, yes, there is a God. And yes, his name is Jehovah. And yes, he has a son named Jesus Christ. The Bible has proven, I'm going to go through many different things later on, but I know that in deep in my heart to be a fact. That's what I choose to believe is true for me. And not just for me, I believe that's really what is true, period. Everybody has to come to their understanding of truth. You have to come to your understanding of truth. I'm not forcing that upon anybody. I'm not forcing that upon the atheist. I'm not forcing that upon the agnostic. I am saying everybody has to come to their truth. God's giving you free will to choose him or not. We'll look at later, not today, but of the evidences that God puts out there. We don't have a blind faith. And I know scientists are always acting. I'll mention that here in a minute. I mean, they're always saying, oh, you believe this, it can never be proven. Friend, what you believe can never be proven. What the atheists believe cannot be proven. Never has and never will be. And God is not going to come down here and manifest himself, though he has. There's people, I'm getting ahead of myself, but there's people, there's scientists that will say, well, look at you religious people. What a joke. What a joke you are. You might as well believe in Santa Claus. You might as well believe in the tooth fairy. And they'll give different reasons why. And I say, examine yourself in the faith. See if they're telling you the truth or not. And they're saying, look at religion all around the world. What a mess. What a mess it is. And so you have these people over here, and they believe in Buddha, that he's God. These people over here believe in Allah, that he is God. These people over here can't make their mind up. They're a land of 1,000 gods. And so they look at that, and they ridicule us. I'm getting away as a third point. They're ridiculing us. And what I'm seeing is something totally different. Because I am thinking for myself. And I understand what they're doing, and they're causing confusion. But not to me. Because what I see is something amazing that proves God. He's looking at all the religions of man and saying, looking at the confusion. And I understand there is confusion. I don't doubt that confusion. But what I see is, I don't see a dog praying in the corner. I don't see other animals coming to church. And from the beginning of time, man has thought of God. Why? Why have they thought of God? And so because there's all this confusion, don't prove there is a God. The fact that man is seeking God seems to prove that there is a God, and there's confusion on who that God is. And you just got to find the right God. Well, have a good journey. I hope you go that route. I hope you, because if you seek, the Bible says, you shall find. I believe that 100%. A Muslim seeks, the Buddhist seeks, any man from India begins to seek who that true and living God is. I'm witnessing to a man named Muhammad. He's a great guy. I love him. The guy's more moral than most Christians I know. He's a very intellectual man, and he knows there is a God, but he don't know which one it is. And I say, bless you on your journey, my friend. Because I'm giving little tidbits here and there for him to look at, but that's his journey. And I'm just trying to help him the best that I can, what I know that is true. But he's got to find out who God is. But I'm going to tell you, atheists, there is a God. And the fact that all the confusion doesn't prove there's not a God, but the fact that men seek God proves that there is a God. What a fool it would be to say there is no God. Well, how much more of a fool is it that knows the living God to practice a life that is unthankful and unholy? Believing that God that they believe in their heart is not worthy of their full service. You know, the Bible says we're to be a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service. Very reasonable. If you believe in God. If you believe in God, it's not that I'm just going to show up on church every time the door is open. It's not that I'm just going to read my Bible. It's not just that I'm going to witness to my friends. Man, it is a living sacrifice. Every moment of every day, I am in the hand of God, which is my reasonable service. If I really believe in my heart, there is a God. And his name is Jehovah. And his son is Jesus Christ. And he died for my sins. If I really believe that, you're not going to keep me quiet. If I really believe that in my heart, I am going to be a living sacrifice. That's reasonable. Reasonable. Isn't it? Absolutely. Well, that's the creed of the fool. There is no God. Those that are pronounced atheism, that is their creed. The ones that are practicing atheism says, well, I believe in God, but there's really, I don't follow him. There's really no God authority in my life. Now I'm going to look at the conduct of the fool. Look in verse number 1. They say they are corrupt. I'm saying, God, you're going a little far there. I mean, all these people that don't believe in God are corrupt. That's what he's calling them. By the way, I don't call him a fool. Did you? I didn't call him a fool. God called him a fool. I'm just telling you what God is saying. I'm not going to ridicule them. God says they are mistaken. God says they're behaving foolishly. God says they're behaving in a way that's senseless, that doesn't make any sense. I'm going to get into a little bit about what atheists believe later on. And I'm going to tell you, honestly, it doesn't make any sense. Now, I know there is an amount, if you want to say it, of evolution within a species. But there's no evolution outside of a species. They're never going to find the link between apes and men. Never. Every time that they have tried, every time they have come up and pronounced that they have, every single time. I don't know what they taught when you was in school. I believe Lucy was one. I remember the different ones. Everyone, without exception, was proven a fraud. The scientific world tried to pass it off as fact. We found the missing link. They will never find the missing link. If there was a missing link, they would have found it a long time ago. But they haven't, and they will not. The conduct of a fool is corrupt. They believe there's, and why is that? Why do they do, as it says here, abominable works? Things that God has said, don't do. These are abominable to me. This, whatever it is, what we might call sin. He says, those that believe and know God, they do abominable works. Why? The answer is simple. Because they do not believe in an ultimate standard of right or wrong. Because if you are a true atheist, morality really doesn't matter. Because there is no absolute right or absolute wrong. Because if everything doesn't matter, why are we here? In evolution, it doesn't matter. It's just the process. It's a fluke. We're no different than the blade of grass. It's just a chip, and then everything's gone, and nothing matters. If there is no God, there's no standard of holiness, there's no right or wrong. If everything doesn't matter, I'm going to tell you, there's no reason to live holy. No reason. Why would I? If I would be an atheist, I wouldn't be here today. And I wouldn't care what I was doing. Whether I was living in complete immorality would not matter to me. Why would I not just feed my flesh and do whatever my flesh feels good? Why would I not do that if there is no God? I would do that. That's why many do. Because there's no one to decide who's right and wrong. Who gets to decide that if there is no God? The government, they can do some things to help in society, but really, that's just what they're doing to control the population. But there's really no good and evil. No, there's no good and evil if there is no God. There's no morality if there is no God. You go get drunk, commit fornication. Why hold your flesh back from anything? The Bible says they do not understand nor seek God. Why would not a person want to understand and seek God? For me, there are several reasons some are raised that way, and they're taught a lie, and they believe that lie from the beginning. So why don't they understand or seek God? Here's one. They don't want no accountability. They don't want a God. They don't want a belief that's going to hold them to future retribution. If I do wrong and don't accept God and reject Christ, the living Savior, then I don't want to believe. I don't want to believe that there's going to be a hell. I don't want to believe in future judgment. An atheist doesn't have to believe in future judgment. But you do if you believe in God. If the lost that believe in God, they will. They'll lose their soul in hell. The atheist will still lose their soul in hell. But I'm going to tell you something. The backslider will have to pay. They're paying now, by the way. I don't know if you understand that. They're paying now, many of them. God chastens his people. And I'm going to tell you, if this life is about serving God, and we know that's true from the Word of God, why wouldn't I, if I believe in God, and I believe in his Word, do everything to store up treasure in heaven for later? Because this is just a vapor. They're right. Our life is but a vapor. And if there is a God, and his name is Jehovah, and his Son is Jesus Christ, and this is his Word, and I understand that in my heart, for in the heart the Bible says there is no God, but in my heart I say there is a God, and his name is Jehovah, and his Son is Jesus Christ, and this is his Word, then I understand that all that matters upon this life is what I do for Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, there's so many that are living like Solomon did for a brief time. The wisest man in the world, he began to think. And I really believe he thought, I wonder if there is a God. He lived as if there was no God for a period of time. Did you know that? The wisest man in the world, saved, but it had a point of time. He even, because of his abilities, his riches, his wealth, and the opportunity that he had, he began to search for it everywhere. You know, let's live as if there's no God, and he did that. And I mean, he did everything he possibly could. And do you know what he found out in the end? Nothing matters if there's no God. So let me hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. My friend, that is true for you if you believe there's God. That's what matters. It's not to say your family doesn't matter, but in everything that you have here, there's a purpose. You have a spiritual responsibility to your family, to your neighbor. You are here now to live for him and to live for the future, not this present moment. We are just a pilgrim on this earth. Why? Because we believe there is a God. If we truly believe it in our heart, we must live that way. The Bible says they're gone aside from the commandments of God, rejecting the holiness of God. They become filthy, it says in verse number 3. Well, that's a strong word, filthy. And the reason why, that's because they really are no more than an animal. I mean, you look at the animal species, and you look at how they behave. What do? They kill. Have you ever seen another animal kill another animal? Even their own kind. They do that without even any thought. It's in their nature. They steal. I mean, the coon will come up and steal your dog food. They don't have no problem with that. They don't have a guilty conscience about it. They abandon, most animals abandon their children. They don't think about it. They don't see any problem with that. They're not struggling with any guilt. Man's much different, isn't he? I wonder why. Because he's created in the image of God. They will not say that. And they reject that thought. So how else are you going to explain it? And they'll try to confuse you. They'll try to say things, and I'm going to say I won't get too much far ahead of myself, but they're going to do things to make you doubt. There's no doubt about that. So if we're no more than animals, just a higher species of an animal, again, there's no right or wrong for us. I would believe that if there was no God. I would believe we can just do as we please. So the Bible says they're vile. They're filthy. They do no good. I mean, think about it. What good can someone do with that worldview? There is no God. That's your worldview. And so you go out and build hospitals and give to charity and feed the poor and the hungry. You build schools and orphanages, and you tell them there is no God. You can't do no good outside of God. Have you ever thought about that? You can do no good outside of God because there is no good outside of God. I don't know if that resonates with you. But there is no good. For there is no such thing as good or evil outside of God. So we see the conduct of a proclaimed atheist, and we see the same thing in a practicing atheist. And I won't go in that, but I'm going to tell you there's some Christians living as fools. Living by their flesh on what they want to do. Living for the dollar. They won't admit it, but it's true. In their heart. In their heart. They're more faithful to things in this life than things of the next life. And in truth, in their heart, they're living for earthly pleasures. In truth, they wouldn't say this, but they're living really like almost just an animal. There's no good without God. You can do everything. Think of Solomon. There's no good outside of serving God. The Bible says, right there, the conclusion of the whole matter, fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Without living for God, life is simply meaningless. For the lost, what does it matter if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Let me say for this, for the backslidden, what does it matter if you do not live for him and have no rewards in heaven and you wasted your life? Now that does matter. It is going to matter. So which is worse, a man who believes there's no God, so lives like an animal, or a man that believes there is a God, but ignores his moral code and does whatever he wants? You decide. But I'm going to look at the conduct of a fool. They're corrupt, and the Bible says they condemn. Look with me in verse number 4. The Bible says, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Lord. And so here are these people, and I've noticed this, and I see this as a truth. The atheists feed God's people. They do. Look, you go and you find you an atheist page. You do that. And you compare it to a Christian, a genuine Christian page, and you see the difference. You do that. Don't trust me. You do it. You go look at some page. Look at a page of anybody, any group that believes there is no God, and look at it and examine it. And go to a faithful Christian, not just any, the faithful Christian page, and look at it. And you see who the enemy is. You look at who the enemy of the world is. I'm going to tell you something. I do not hate an atheist. I love an atheist, don't you? As a person, I have pity upon him and compassion upon him, and I want to lead him to the knowledge of truth that I have. I'm not trying to pull the wool over his eyes. I am convinced about something deep down inside, and my worldview is completely different than his worldview, and I want to give him some hope. I want to help him to understand that there is a God and prove to him without a shadow of a doubt, with the help of the Holy Spirit through creation and other aspects of things that God has given us, that he might know. He has to come to that understanding by himself. And I understand that. And so I've got to be patient. I've got to be kind. But that's how we are as Christians, right? Genuine Christians, we love the Lord, and therefore we love people. We love atheists. But you go to an atheist page, and you'll find a hatred of Christianity. A hatred. I'm not overstating it whatsoever. The Bible declares in John 15, 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. That's the word Jesus used. John 7, 7 says, but me it hateth because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. They don't want to hear that. 75% or 70% of atheists, this is taken off an atheist page, 70% of atheists say that churches and other religious institutions do more harm than good in society, and that they have way too much influence. Atheists commonly attack Christians. They commonly attack God's church. You know what they do? They throw us in with all religion. And that's convenient for them, but that's not the truth. They will fight back to the Catholic Church in the Inquisition time, in the Dark Ages. And I'm going to tell you, the Catholic Church was evil, still is. Fact. I'm not getting on. I'm not saying that Catholic people are evil. I'm saying the religion, the doctrine of the Catholic Church is evil. And that's why, through the Dark Ages, they destroyed people, murdered millions. Even God-fearing people like you, for what you believe. You can look at the Muslim faith. And there's so many radicals in the Muslim faith, and why it is, they can look at Hamas. If they see there, that's why I don't like people that believe in God. We're not the same people. They call you and I radical fundamentalists. In fact, on some of those, they equate us with Hamas as being a terrorist group. I don't want to behead anybody, do you? Well, some. No, I don't want to behead anybody. So being serious, I love people right inside of me. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes, but that's true. I know that that's true in me. I know that without a doubt. I love people. Not because I'm special, but Christ in me. He changed my heart. I wasn't always like this, but I do that now because I know who the God is, and that God has changed me, and I don't want to be like I'm not. That bothers me. The Catholic Church bothers me. and what they have done through the years. And so, but they want to condemn us by seizing on God's people. We even see whether it's Christians, the church, or even the nation of Israel. Now, this is kind of not talking about atheists, but I'm going to tell you, people are attacking the nation of Israel because they hate Jehovah God. That's what they want, to take Israel and wipe them off the face of the planet. That's what they want to do. And that's a hatred, isn't it? And I don't want to do that to the Palestinian people. I don't want to do that whatsoever to the Palestinian people, do you? You want to wait? Why? No, I want them to get saved. I want them to understand who the true God is. I don't want them to be deceived by that terrorist group Hamas, who's devilish. No, I don't want them to be deceived in that. I love them. But I can tell you, it's just crazy. Have you seen the riot? Or not the riots, the protest on TV? Now look at it. There was a protest for Israel. 300,000 people came out in Washington, D.C. Did anybody see it on TV? Peaceful protest. Oh, it was uplifting. I mean, there was very little of anything that would be considered inappropriate. Now, in contrast, look to the other side of the people that hated Israel. They're trying to kick in doors, trying to force her. Why is there that difference? It's because what you believe. And someone that doesn't believe in God, there's no purpose to life. And doesn't believe in the real God. You're going to see this. So look for yourself. Please examine yourself in the face. Maybe you're not in the right faith. Maybe Christianity is not it. Maybe there's no God at all. You look. You see. I know some of you have come a long ways, and you've already have a foundation that's too deep to go very far there. But I'm saying every genuine seeker shall find the truth. Well, I'll look into more of that later. But not only do they siege us, they shame us. They scorn us. They look at us like we are fools. Have you ever noticed that about the intellectual, scientific crowd? They look at us like we are ignorant and stupid people. Now, I understand, and I give them credit. They're very intellectual people. Most of them, many of them. But they are deceived, ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of truth. I understand that. And so even though they're more intellectual, it doesn't make them right. There's people that are ever learning and never able to come to knowledge of truth. They just need to see the truth in this area. They know more about physics than I'll ever know. But they have missed the most simplest truth. And it's devastating. And it creates a worldview that's bleak and dark, no matter how they may try to package it up and put a bow on it. It absolutely means nothing. Mark Twain said this: you believe in a book that has talking animals, wizards, witches, demons, sticks turning into snakes, burning bushes, food falling from the sky, people walking on the water, and all sorts of magical, absurd, and primitive stories, and you say that we're the ones that need help? Ernest Hemingway said this: all thinking men are atheists. That means you're not a thinker if you're not an atheist. That's how the world sees. That's how the atheistic world, that worldview, looks at us. Intellectual world looks down on us as if we believe in the tooth fairy or Santa Claus. Now, I'm going to tell you first and foremost, and I'm not going to get nowhere close to done, but I'm going to end here. I am more than willing to be a fool in this world for Christ. More than willing. Why? Because I know in my heart there is a God. I know what his name is. I know who his son is. I know how he has changed my life and my heart. I look upon the genuine people of God that proclaim the truth of the Word of God, and they look at the world and have the same worldview that I have. They love people. They show it over and over. They give food to them on Friday. They take care of the addicted. They love people. They do things in the name of Christ. Their hearts are genuine because they believe that there is a God that created them, that loves them, that saved them, and that has given them a home in heaven. You must if you truly believe. Why would you stay silent for being mocked for your faith? No, sir. I'm going to continue being a fool for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said over and over in the Word of God, he said in 1 Corinthians 4, we are fools for Christ's sake. Yes, I am. and willing. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11:23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. Paul said, I speak as a fool. He's saying this, I'm the biggest fool of all, and I'm willing to be considered the biggest fool of all. And he says, I am stripes above measures, and labors more abundant, and prisons more frequent, and deaths often. All these things that he was doing in the name of who? Jesus Christ. And they persecuted him, and they mocked him, and they counted him as the greatest fool on earth. Do you know why? He believed there is a God in his heart. He believed there was a man named Jesus Christ that came to die for his sin. So let me ask you something. Who's the biggest fool? Who's the biggest fool? Is it the person that believes there is no God and so doesn't follow him? Or is it the person that believes there is a God that doesn't follow him? If I believe there is a God, then I must, in my heart, be a living sacrifice to him. Why would I be, or how could I be, anything but man? That's one more stop. If you'll stand to your feet, then the Lord's going to come. We're going to sing a hymn. And if you, in your heart, just want to come and praise God for who he is, I want to have a wonderful message on praise tonight. But if you want to come and just lift God up in prayer, if you want to come, maybe there's some here that have doubted whether there is a God. And their faith is not complete. You've never trusted in Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you an opportunity to come and say, well, today, and God's been dealing with my heart, and I know there is a God, and I know his name is Jehovah, and I'm convinced that he is Jesus Christ. There's one more step to take, and I embrace him in my life. And I turn, and I give him my life. That's salvation. It's faith and repentance. Repentance is a coming to him. And perhaps you know, you've been dealing with it for some time, and God has laid this upon your heart, and you need to repent. You believe in your heart, and now all you have to do is repent. And perhaps those people, they know, you know, you have had that moment in your life, and at that very time, you yield and surrender yourself completely to God, but you're not living for God right now. You're living as a fool that said in your heart, there is no God. Or you're living your life where you're only giving him part of your life, especially. Can I ask you why? Do you really believe? For if you examine yourself in the faith, you would have to be a fool not to give him your entire life.